following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You hear that rattle, kid? That's an unbalanced condenser fan. That's bad. Unbalanced things break. Broken things cost money. Spending money leads to unbalanced budgets. That's why I like Grainger. They balance my needs with my budget. Grainger has counterweights, fan blades, motors, everything we need to keep this place humming. Not rattling, humming. The Grainger catalog in all its forms. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Progressive presents Flo's newest jam. Bundling will make you feel like the mayor of Savingsville.
Bundle your home and auto together, and you'll feel like the mayor of Savingsville. Yes, you will. A town famous for the world's biggest puppy.
Bundle your home and auto together and save. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Home insurance underwritten by Homesite Group, Boston, Mass. And other non-affiliated companies.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, pleased to have Monty Kratzenstein join us as our co-host for today's program. Our Big Ten football preview will continue with Wisconsin coach Gary Anderson later on in the show today. And coming up in about 10 minutes, on their way back from Indianapolis, Coach Kurt Schmidt of the Kearney Little Leaguers. And we'll talk with him in a get his thoughts on the ride that was. As he said before they went out to Indianapolis, let's play well, see if we can get a couple of wins. We'll be happy. We want to win it. We want to go to Williamsport, but let's go out and have some fun. And it looked like they did have fun. And Monty, I guess we'll start there. The UNK Athletic Director search, we'll get into that. We'll hear some comments from Mary Ellen Gillespie, who was the finalist on campus yesterday. We'll talk about the PGA Championship, and we've got other things that we'll take a look at, of course, Huskers and all that. But as I watched it yesterday, and then because it was an early game, you got enough time to get public feedback. And I just decided, here's what I was going to go with. Here is my line. You know, everybody wanted them to win so bad. I just said, damn 12-year-olds. Ah, dang it. You know, don't they know? I mean, don't they know they're carrying our hearts with them? Come on.
As the father of a 13-year-old, no, they don't know.
I don't even know if I want to say this to Kurt or bring it up to Kurt, but just from the games you're able to watch, and you're able to watch a majority of them last year and this year, I thought this year's team was every bit as good as last year's team that made it to Williamsport. And the competition may have been a little more balanced. And I don't know. Again, I still get that feeling that last year you weren't surprised or shocked, but that first time the Huskers win a national championship, that first time in sports that you take it to the next level, it's usually always the most special because it's never going to go through that again. And maybe that's part of the deal. And I don't want to compare the two teams because they were both very, very good. But I just did.
You just did, but that's okay. Here's the thing. There are are any of these groups the best 12-year-old group that's come through Kearney? Kearney baseball is very good, as we've seen over the years, whether it's Little League, USSSA, runs at post 52. It's very good. So for people to start making comparisons of this is the best group, that is the best group, this group isn't fair, because there's a lot of other factors that play into, since we're talking about Little League baseball, Indianapolis and that regional. Competition is a big factor. Luck is a big factor. I mean, there are just those things. And one of the things that Kurt, I'm sure he'll talk about, one of the things that was difficult is, you know, I think that team was probably comparable to the team last year and the team before that. But when you're following the first team to do it, there's so much, I don't know if there's expectations or it's pressure or whatever it is, because, again, I've watched these kids play baseball at all for a long time, and there you can't say that this group is the second best group or the best group or the third group or whatever. I think they're all pretty comparable. It's just how it all plays out once you get there. And I thought the competition this year compared to last year and the year before was pretty similar. You know, you have to have, I talked a little bit to Brad Wagner earlier, you know, through this whole process, and, you know,
and of course, folks for that don't remember, Brad was the coach of the team last year.
Yep. And he said, it seems like you have to have, you know, depth is so important, not depth of pitching, but depth of your batting order. You know, they had on that team last year, they had 8 kids that had hit home runs in the state tournaments. Right. And I think there was, you know, the teams that do so well are teams that have a lot of depth in their power that can go deep. You don't necessarily have to have 5 or 6 great pitchers. You have to have a standout guy, and then your second, third guys have to be able to strike kids out. And not to say this team didn't or did, but that's just kind of the common characteristics of these teams that continue to advance from the Midwest region, which, by the way, have you paid any attention to the West regionals, South regionals? There's some ball players in those deals.
Well, and we talked about it last year, and it's brought up when they get to television, when they get to Williamsport. The Midwest region never does very well. They have not done very well at the Little League World Series. I mean, it was an amazing stat over however many years here, like four, since they went to this format, it was 4-28 or something crazy like that out at Williamsport.
And there's two reasons for that. One of them is a lot of kids are playing USSSA instead of Little League in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing is, last time I checked, maybe Midwestern teams in the College World Series didn't do as well as Southern teams and Western teams, too. So I think that's a factor, too, just the baseball culture and the quality of baseball overall. So I think those two factors play a major role in that.
Doug Dudamani, Kranzenstein with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Give us your thoughts, your opinions on the Little Leaguers, the Huskers, whatever you want to touch on. 888-455-ESPN. That's the Bruce Furniture fan line. 888-455-3776. You can always email us to the Dent Popper inbox. That seems to be our most popular way to get input from you, the listeners. And that, of course, the Dent Popper inbox, home of the Armor Lining. If you got any hail damage over the summer, get it taken care of before the cold weather sets in, and they can take care of you at the Dent Popper in downtown Kearney. And our email address, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. You can always tweet us. Producer Jeff's all over that, @ESPN1460 1550. Our Facebook is ESPN Superstation. Monty, you have been around coaching basically since you got out of college at every level when it deals with kids. And you've had something to do with the baseball here in Kearney. Let me ask you this. Why are these kids so darn good? I mean, I know some of the prop has to go to parents, and some of it has to go to genetics, and some of it has to go to the coaching, for sure. But, man, they really look like ballplayers. Sometimes it's hard to believe how young they are. And I know in 2-3 years they're expected to be going to the state tournament for Post 52. But nonetheless, I was really impressed with their play, and I didn't see all 5 games. Mm-hmm. I did see the last 2 or 3. I was really impressed with their play. I mean, I know there was an error and lost the ball in the sun, but I mean, some of those double plays yesterday, they did some things that you don't see Damon Day's teams do.
Oh, don't start
routinely.
Picking. Are we going to start picking on Damon? Because I'll pull on that thread.
He's out of town.
Okay, it's free. The great light screen, baby.
But why? I mean, can you put your finger on it?
Well, I think it's a cliche, but it's tradition. It's important to this community. It's important to Kearney. Kearney is a baseball town. You know, you look at the USSSA teams all the way up and down. You look at the Legion. You look at Little League. All those things. It's a big deal. And those kids, it just perpetuates. You go over to the runs of games, the Post 52 games, and you see and you see a lot of kids there. They're watching those guys. You know, you remember how it is when you're in elementary school and you kind of idolize those high school kids and they have success and you want to have success. Just like any small town that has tradition, it just perpetuates itself.
One thing I did notice, Kearney's team this year had a couple of bigger kids than last year. You know, the Thurston kid, he looked pretty solid out there. And I mean, there was kids with power last year. There's no doubt about that. The Quintana kid, and I don't even have the roster in front of me. But they looked more comparable, just a little bit, I don't know if mature is the word, but they just looked, there was a couple kids that just looked bigger.
I think all the teams have a couple kids like that. Some kids had more. I think last year, and if you remember, kids and people in community understand this or know this, but, you know, the Jake Scala kid last year was comparable to the big kid, and Matt Masker was a big kid. So I think it's pretty similar. But the difference was also that this team had, you know, there's a lot of size discrepancy in a roster when you're looking at 11, 12, 13-year-old kids. You know, some kids have hair under their armpits before others. I don't know if you know, and that's a big deal. And I think this team was comparable, you know, especially in the top part of their order and the top part of the pitching staff, comparable to some of those big kids. But how many times you turn on ESPN, you look and you're like, are you kidding me? Check the birth certificate on that kid.
Yeah.
Because there's always these kids that are early developers.
And, man, you feel bad because you can't play a great game every time out. And you know there's maybe a kid that's batting 125 that comes in and gets a couple hits in a game, and maybe there's a kid, and I know there was an instance or two of this yesterday that had really been tearing the cover off the ball, and yesterday wasn't their day. It really wasn't the day for anybody hitting the ball because there just weren't that many hits for an 11-inning game. And Doug Duda with Monty Kratzenstein, my co-host today, and on his way back with the Nebraska team is manager Kurt Schmidt, who has been very gracious with his time throughout this process. And Coach, I'm sorry that the vehicles are heading west today. How are you?
You know, we're not too bad. Everybody's headed west today. I'm guessing there's a few of them that are getting closer than others. But, it's too bad we're headed west instead of east here in a few days.
Let me just put this out there because I thought you guys were at least as good, if not the better team yesterday, and the ball just really didn't bounce your way. Played some great defense. What a defensive game it was yesterday. What in your mind did it come down to yesterday?
Really the thing I keep going back to in my mind as we sat and reminisced about it a little bit last evening was that foul ball that was going foul, hit the lip of the grass, and then rolled back fair before Keegan was able to get to it. I thought that play right there kind of turned the tables on us a little bit. You know, at the time, I don't think it was that big a deal. You know, Keegan wasn't real quick off the mound to get to it. Zane was on his way to it, but didn't get to it from behind the plate. And, you know, I thought if we grabbed that while it was foul and we got that kid out, that might have changed that inning a little bit. And actually, when Zane and I were sitting in the hotel room last night, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, could have you got to it or should have Keegan got to it faster? And he didn't think so. I haven't yet watched the replay of it, so I kind of want to look at that. But that is the one play that I can kind of point to as, dang it, I wish I had that one back.
I'll put your mind at ease. Neither one could have got to it because I watched it again on the replay, Coach. And, I mean, Keegan would have had to dive, and pro ball players aren't going to dive at one that's foul. It's just the way it is. So I'll put your mind at ease. They were getting over there to it, but the kid was about ready to touch first base when it came back across the fair foul line. So, Monty, go ahead.
Well, I just want to reemphasize, you know, Kurt has seen a lot of baseball plate, and that's baseball. When you have two teams that are so similar, it seems like it always comes down to one or two or three goofy little plays, and you know you can't coach it. Sometimes you can't prepare for it. It just happens. And Kurt, I want to compliment you guys on the way you represented Kearney, the community, and the state, because you know maybe it's one of those deals where kids act differently when they're around other people than your own, right? But you know it's like
right.
Like everybody always says when you get back from school, well, your kid's the greatest kid in the world, and you're like, my kid? No. but I from the outside looking in, your kids represent themselves well, you guys represent yourselves well, and you could take a lot of solace in that sort of thing.
Well, thank you. I've heard that from a lot of different people, and we take a lot of pride in that. You know, the kids were absolutely awesome for the past, you know, even 5 weeks. We'll go back to you know, when the team was selected. You know, I really tried to instill in them that not only were we going to be a good baseball team, but we were going to be good people while we were on this nice little ride. So, you know, and I can't take all the credit for that. There's 13 great sets of parents that have, you know, instilled those values in the boys, and I was just able to showcase them. So, you know, it was great to be their manager. We were, you know, as the central regional staff goes, and obviously they can't have a favorite or they can't cheer for anybody, but, you know, I had a few people pull us aside even before the semifinal game and go, hey, you know, we're cheering for you guys. We really like your boys, and they do a nice job of representing. And so we can't cheer for you, but no, deep down we're pulling for you. And so that's always nice to hear as well.
Sure, very much so. Like most coaches, maybe, I don't know, you lay awake at night second-guessing. I know I do. I have that problem sometimes. You always think about what could have been, what you could have done differently. Do you have any of those sorts of thoughts last night, or are you better about forgetting those things than I ever was?
You know, I slept really well last night. There, you know, as far as, you know, who we should have thrown, I feel awesome about that. Sestro went from a young boy or a young man yesterday morning to a rock star 12-year-old player that is going to do some damage next year, hopefully, when they get to go back. Mm-hmm. You know, that kid, we handed him the ball in a tie ball game in the, fifth inning, I believe, and told him, you know, we need to come out, buddy, see what you can do for us. And he had his changeup working just awesome yesterday. And Zane, you know, did a nice job of calling the pitches back there. I don't know if, you know, most of the listeners know this, but Zane called all 173 pitches yesterday on his own. We did not call one pitch from the dugout.
That's impressive in itself, and that tells me right now that you're much better at not being a control freak as opposed to me and some of the guys I coach with.
We're talking with Kurt Schmidt. He's the manager of the Kearney Little Leaguers. 11 innings, 4-3. They fell to Urbandale, Iowa yesterday. Let me ask you about pitching on the other side. Iowa's kids, especially the young man that came in, Sam Young, really seemed to have control of his breaking ball, curveball, whatever you want to call it, at that age, and he really kept your guys off balance. Had you seen anything like that throughout the tournament?
No, that was the best off-speed pitch we'd seen throughout the tournament. You know, not only was it you know, quite a bit different speed from his fastball, but it had the most movement from, you know, top to bottom. You know, we saw some kids that were able to throw the ball, and it's more of a slider, you know, that went from one side of the plate to the other. But this kid's ball, you know, kind of dropped off the table, probably a good foot. I don't know how it showed on, you know, the TV, but boy, the bottom just dropped right out of it. And, you know, and we had talked, you know, with the boys, you know, numerous times in the dugout about that. And, you know, if it's starting in the zone and you see it's the off speed, it's probably going to be in the dirt or at least a low ball, so lay off it. But it must have looked too juicy to him, because even after all the discussions we've had, they were still swinging at it. So I would say that was the best off speed pitch we saw, you know, all week. We had faced this kid earlier in the pool play, and his stuff wasn't as good during pool play as it was yesterday. So he picked a good day to have his A game.
Kurt, was there anything in hindsight, anything that surprised you about that Indianapolis regional? I mean, not just from the baseball side, but from the whole experience side of things. Was there anything, you know, you didn't expect? Or and maybe the other part of that question might be, do you have any advice? I know the guy who's going to coach the team next year will certainly be coming to you. What kind of advice would you give next year's guy?
You know, as far as anything we didn't expect, no, not really. Just because, you know, I was out there as a spectator last year, so, you know, I'd seen part of the behind the scenes, not all of it, obviously. And then Todd, having been on the coaching staff last year, you know, knew all the behind-the-scenes piece of it. And honestly, the schedule set up absolutely perfect for us. Because we played at either noon, 1, or 2 every game, we were able to have the same routine while we were there each day.
Sure.
And, you know, that made it for a really fluid pregame ritual that we had. We just moved it by an hour, you know, depending on what time we played that day. And so, you know, some of the teams, you know, they would play at 11 o'clock, and then the next day they may not play till 5 or 7. And so, you know, their routine changed each day, and ours didn't. So I thought that was an advantage we had.
Sure.
You know, I guess one thing I'll tell the coach next year, whoever that may be, is, you know, just enjoy the experience. You know, even though we're headed west today, you know, I have nothing but, you know, awesome things to say about the staff there, about the facilities, you know, just about the whole experience. So, you know, enjoy it. And if you're fortunate enough to be able to play in the final game, you know, that's a bonus. And if you're able to go to Williamsport, you know, that's amazing. There was some very good teams in the regionals this year. You know, I think, you know, and Brad Wagner may not like this comment, but I think the competition was a little stiffer this year than it was last year. But, you know, it's just a couple breaks here and there, and you never know. We could be playing tomorrow yet. So
you bet.
We'll let you out of here with just a couple more questions. Kurt Schmidt with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, since you were standing right there, the game tied in the sixth inning. You guys left the bases loaded, which was really your last threat in the baseball game. Can you take me through what happened?
Sure. You know, Mason was up to bat. Mason Casper's up to bat. We had Dalton Schmidt there at third base. And, you know, I just 10 seconds before that, I just told him, all right, anything in the air, I need you tagging up. And as soon as the ball was struck, it was a nice line drive. They had moved their right fielder in. Must have did a pretty good scouting report on Mason because they had him playing right where he needed to be. You know, Mason struck it real well. And at that point, Dalton jumped off the bag and started down towards home plate. And I was, you know, encouraging him to get back to third base. And by that time, it was too late. I mean, and honestly, even if he was tagging up like, you know, I was asking him to, I don't know if we would have sent him. You know, at that point, I believe there was either no outs or one out. You know, and so we had another opportunity coming up with Zane coming to the plate. And it was going to be a line drive right to him, which he caught. And he had momentum coming in. And, you know, a good throw, Dalton's out by 10 feet, you know. So, you know, hindsight being 20/20, I still think I don't send him on that in that situation. And Zane was our leading batting average guy all week. And so I don't know if I would have wanted to take the bat out of his hands.
Well, I tell you what, we always tend to dwell on the things that didn't happen, but as we were talking about before we brought you on, Coach, I thought that was as good a defense as anybody could have ever played in a Little League game. Some amazing plays. As you said, Mason Casper started an outstanding double play there in the sixth inning. And when you're the visiting team and you know that the bottom of the inning could be the end of the season, and that happened to you six different times yesterday with all those extra innings, that just has to be nerve-wracking. So we won't leave you on the phone here too long, Kurt. We'll let you guys get back on the road or continue your travels, and we hope you have safe travels. And again, congratulations, as Monty said, and great job in representing Nebraska and the community of Kearney.
Well, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate all the coverage, and you know, our heads are held high on the way back to Kearney, so we'll be okay.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Thanks for all your effort.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kurt.
They put in so much time. I mean, they just put in so much time.
Well, one of the problems with having, again, great support from Kearney is you feel that responsibility. You know, they should not be looked on at all. You know, you could hear the disappointment in his voice, and I understand that from a coaching, parent, participant standpoint. But, man, you know, they've done a lot of great things along the way. So, they you know, you have to dwell on the positives. I know that isn't the nature of sports to think about the negatives first. You always do that. But, wow, they did a lot of great things.
I mean, they lost two games, both in extra innings, to the team. One of those teams is going to Williamsport. They lost two games, both in extra innings. One of them is going to Williamsport. And, again, you can go back to to Monday, where they played Minnesota, I think, closer than anybody expected, just because you looked at the scores. And we talked with Kurt ahead of that game, and he says, well, you know, I think we're going to be right in this one. I think it's going to be a heavyweight fight, and it was. But they win that game. They get the fourth seed instead of an Urbandale, Iowa team who they'd already played. Would have been interesting, but what a great job. What a great job by the Kearney Little Leaguers. Also in baseball, the American Legion Central Plains Regional Tournament is underway. Nebraska has two teams competing, and in the first one of those games, Omaha Westside is taking on Carroll, Iowa. And I thought Nebraska got a couple of good draws because Creighton Prep, the state champion, will take on West Fargo. And the weird thing about it is if either both win or both lose today, the two Nebraska teams would play each other tomorrow. Well, Omaha Westside has committed five errors, and they've managed just two hits in seven innings. And they're going to the seventh. It is Carroll County, Iowa, 4, and Omaha Westside, nothing, as they go to the top of the seventh of this nine-inning game.
How many games have these kids played? I mean, think about the spring.
Right about 60.
The spring season, I mean, that's a wear. I mean, that's more than college teams by far play. I would assume there'd be some mental fatigue there along the way. Sometimes, even though the quality of play sometimes is higher, sometimes you have these games where you make errors where coaches will say, I don't know where that came from. But I think mental fatigue and just fatigue is part of that.
I'm watching, seriously, when you're watching sporting events, maybe by yourself or you're at home and nobody else is in the room, you ever catch yourself just yelling? I mean, and then you go, well, wait a minute. I mean, that happened to me here twice yesterday watching that Little League game. I mean, in a good way. I mean, when Macy Casper turned that double play in the bottom of the sixth when you thought everything's going against Kearney right now, the momentum. And the defensive plays that they made, they had the home run robber out in center field by the Hines kid on Monday. The defense, I mean, these kids were hitting the ball, but the defense that these kids played was amazing.
I don't know what you're talking about, Doug. I just look at that TV and I'm just calm and relaxed and never say a word. I don't know what you're talking about, especially when it comes to Nebraska football, especially when it comes to events. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey folks, don't forget, anytime you want to watch your favorite sport, enjoy some lunch, or of course head out to the courtyard for great evening entertainment. Bands out there virtually every single night. Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and Courtyard. The amazing thing is you can come in Cunningham's Journal, main level that you've known forever. TVs everywhere you go. You can have something great to eat. You can take a look at the menu and get something different every day, whether you want a little bacon on your sandwich, whether you want some brisket, whether you want pizza, salad. It's all there for you. The skewers are so good. You can go upstairs. Young crowd likes to hang upstairs.
I've never been up there.
Yeah, plus it's upstairs. I can understand why the older crowd might not necessarily go upstairs.
I get winded going up the stairs.
But the loft is always hopping. And then, of course, the great music out back in the courtyard where you can just enjoy the beautiful weather that we're having right now. It is an outstanding atmosphere at Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and Courtyard. Watch your favorite sports. Listen to your favorite bands. And, of course, never be hungry with their great menu. We're going to be back. We've got coming up on the show the head coach in his first year at Wisconsin, Gary Anderson. We'll also hear from the final finalist to interview for the UNK athletic director job. It's all coming up.
My name is Megan. The day that I decided to go into Complete Nutrition, I literally circled the store 6 or 7 times to get up the courage to go in. When you're overweight, you have to be like, hi, I need help. Please don't judge me. I walked in and this smiling face was there, and he was ready to help and wanted to know about me and my goals and who I am as a person. From that point on, Complete Nutrition changed my life.
Whether you want to lose weight, gain muscle, or maintain a healthy lifestyle, Complete Nutrition has the products, supplements, and support you need. Our certified trainers and nutrition experts will partner with you every step of the way to help achieve your goals. Stop into a store today and receive a free multivitamin. No purchase necessary.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Dick's Sporting Goods has the best football gear from the top brands to help you be untouchable this season. Get the latest cleats, protective equipment, helmets, gloves, apparel, and accessories from brands like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, Cutters, Shut, and more. With exclusive gear you'll only find at Dick's Sporting Goods. Stop in today or visit us online at dsg.com/football. At Dick's, you'll find the football gear you need to be untouchable from day one. Every season starts at Dick's.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6 is always thinking of ways to make it easier to book a clean, comfortable room for a great low rate. And this is the first test of our reservation by telepathy system, commencing now. Now. Wait a minute. Now. Well, you can still call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6, book online at motel6.com, or with our cool new app on your tablet or smartphone. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on.
From the best games of the regular season to the Bowl Championship Series, including the BCS National Championship in Pasadena, January 6th. You know us. We know college football. ESPN Radio.
And skies remain cloudy today. We'll see a few scattered showers and storms around the region, otherwise looking at highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, there's a chance for some scattered showers and storms with a low of around 60. This is meteorologist Paul Frambley. Right now, it's 72.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's take a look at the leaderboard at the PGA Championship. And right now, up top, Jim Furyk, 5 under par 13 through 13. David Hearn has finished with a 4 under 66. Robert Garrigus, they have him here at 3 under par 67. As well as Paul Casey in the house. Matt Kuchar playing his last hole. He's at 3 under. Marcus Frazier, Henrik Stenson, who has been in the mix, 3 under par. Some guys whose name I can't pronounce is at 2 under par 68. You try that one, Jeffrey. Ricky Fowler, 2 under with 1 to go. Tiger is 1 under through 14. The three major champions, Justin Rose, Adam Scott, Phil Mickelson, will tee off at about 12:45, I believe it is. Yeah, 12:45. Our time. Who will win the PGA Championship? That was our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the last 24 hours. Tiger, Phil, the field. Who are you voting for, Monty?
Field. I'll go field.
Yeah, I went field. 50% said the field. 43% said Tiger.
Hmm.
So right. A lot more took Tiger than Phil.
That's interesting.
That's our Midtown Mark Cooler question yesterday. How about today? Should college athletes, like yourself, get a percentage of their personal jersey sales, which for you would have been, let's see, back then, Ma, Dad, and so you'd have sold 5. You'd have got a cut. You'd have got about $10. Should college athletes get a percentage of their personal jersey sales? What do you think?
$10 could have got me 2 all-you-can-eat Spaghetti Works on Saturday, on Sunday nights. Oh. And you remember those days?
Awesome.
Spaghetti Works downtown. Yeah. You could get a lot of pasta for $10, so I would have probably taken that at the time.
How many Milwaukee's best could have you got?
What? What is that? I don't know what you're talking about there either. only a guy from Ord comes
on,
up with that. Okay.
We got something else. We called them Blue Yummies back in the day.
Very, very nice, but I digress.
So 2 spaghetti shops, yes.
The
Spaghetti Works.
Should they get a cut of their own personal jerseys? No. I don't believe so. Should there be a stipend of some sort? That's a whole different issue. Maybe, yes, but I don't think the jersey thing should be. Because again, what you're doing there is you're rewarding, to me, the college athlete experience, and come from a no-name walk-on, but you're rewarding the guys that are more notable. You're giving them
your quarterbacks, your Heisman guys.
And to me, that's not what it should be about anyway, so I'd say no.
Yeah, I agree with you. We talked a little bit about this on the show.
Say,
I agree with you.
Say it one more time.
I agree with you, Monty Kratzenstein.
Thank you.
Gothenburg Swede.
I love it.
Former Husker.
Love it.
You can vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Midtown Mart of Hastings. You were asking me who David Hearn was. He's been doing okay lately. He's a Canadian, and he at the John Deere Classic was in that playoff with Zach Johnson and Jordan Spieth when Spieth hit it out of the bunker, broke the flagstick, and it dropped in, and he won the five-hole playoff and went to the British Open. Hearn was in that. Hearn should have won it. He missed about a six-foot putt. They had five playoff holes, and on one of them earlier, he had an opportunity and just missed the putt, and the playoff continued. So Hearn is in good shape, 4-under on his round today with a 66.
One thing I always liked about the PGA, it seemed like every year there's some guys that the average fan, not you, Doug, the average fan hasn't heard of. Remember in 2001, 2002, 2003, it was Rich Beam, David Toms, who nobody knew about at that time, and who was the other one? Sean McKeel.
Yeah.
You know, guys that nobody had heard of made their mark in the PGA Championship.
And they said the last three winners have been 25 or younger. And again, maybe just, I don't know why, maybe not as many foreign players are in the field. But when I looked at the tee times, just looked at the field this year, it just seemed like there were a lot fewer names that you recognized. And then you got your past champions like McKeel, like Beam, who you just kind of figure are only there because they've won the event before. It was kind of like the Masters. There's only so many guys that could win this tournament. There's like the Senior Open, you knew there was 150 whatever guys. You look at the guys that didn't make the cut, there was like five. We talked about it on the show. There's like five guys you went, oh, well, they had a bad couple of days.
Remember, was it 4 years ago when Y.E. Yang and Tiger were going head-to-head and everybody was trying to Google who that guy was and where, you know, we kind of knew where he came from based on the name. But as far as what he had done, do you think, am I overstating the obvious when I say the PGA Championship is the least important of the Big Four?
Pardon me while I'm yawning here.
You're a golf guy.
And I am a golf guy, and I'm wondering why.
Why the PGA is not as important?
Yeah, why? I mean, the only thing the PGA has going for it is if somebody would ever happen to get the first three, then all eyes would be on it for the Grand Slam. And any time that comes into play...
I got a couple theories on that.
They make the TPC at Sawgrass. They hype that up more. I just don't know if the field's quite as strong.
I think that there's two reasons to me. The first one has to do with the time of year. You know, we're kind of past the prime of golf season, and everybody's thinking about football, and it's just kind of a...
In Nebraska. And in NFL cities. NFL cities.
Yep. So... You know, maybe that has something to do with it. You know, getting into the playoff stuff for the baseball. You know, the playoff races are starting to come about. Maybe that has something to do with it. The other part is you look at those other three. You know, the U.S. Open is the national championship, and you know, that's known for being the toughest test of golf. So that has it going for it. The Masters is the Masters. That has Augusta. The British Open has the history of and not a tremendous amount of courses that host that, so you know, kind of have your cycle of courses. You know, the PGA, you never, you know, yeah, it's big time courses, but it goes in a lot of different places. So maybe the time of year, maybe the venues have a little bit to do with that.
Yeah, very much so. And as the listeners may be able to tell today, kind of a little raspy on the voice I am. Allergies kicking in. I don't really have to worry about that too much. And so I went to the doctor. I said, hey. This seems to happen about this time every year. And maybe on the back end of this comment, you'll understand what I'm saying. I hope so,
because I have no idea where you're going with this.
Because about 10 months of the year, this isn't really a problem. But because of pollination and all that, these couple of months are. I said, you know, Doc, how come it's this time of the year? I'm always getting the allergies. What's going on? What do you suggest? And he said, quit hitting your ball in the damn weeds. So... You know, you're going in there, they're thicker nice. This time of year, they're taller, you're batting them around with your wedge, or in my case, a solid 10 iron in case I find anything in there I don't want to see. And, you know, you're knocking that stuff around, you get up the next morning, you go, what? Sound like Peter Brady. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776.
You just got some golf references, some allergy references, you got a Peter Brady reference in about 45 seconds, no wonder you're... a radio legend.
And that's why we never script a show. We're going to take a break. Gary Anderson, Wisconsin football coach, had a chance to chat with him during Big Ten Media Days. Our Big Ten football preview will continue. Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth right after this.
Yo, what's up? Right Brand Bacon here. I'm the bigger, better bacon. Bacon that makes a bold statement. We're talking major slices of thick, meaty bacon. I'm so big you could serve me to the presidents on Mount Rushmore. When I'm on the grill sizzling, I smell so incredible. It attracts guys faster than a half-price bikini car wash. I'm so tender.
Right
so
Brand delicious. Bacon. Bigger, better bacon. Find out more at biggerbetterbacon.com.
Tags are annoying. So at Hanes, we got rid of them. After making it look so easy, people have asked us to help get rid of other annoying things. But sorry, no. We cannot help you get rid of the intentional walk in baseball, reality shows that take place in bridal salons, rain delays, replacement referees, on a related note, bad sports calls. But we can help you get rid of annoying tags, because we already did with our tagless t-shirts and underwear. Hanes.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
The skies remain cloudy today. We'll see a few scattered showers and storms around the region. Otherwise, looking at highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, there's a chance for some scattered showers and storms with a low of around 60. This is meteorologist Paul Frombley. Right now, it's 72.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Monty Kratzenstein, my co-host. Are you playing golf in this big tournament that's coming up here? It's about that time for Salt and Grain, ain't it?
I don't know. I'm still paying my dues. I'm still a rookie. So I don't know. Maybe I'll be a standard bearer. Or I don't know. Maybe I'm on the alternate list.
You'll be taking the scorecards when they come in. You'll get to do gopher duties.
Maybe I'll kill the snakes in the rough when you hit it in there.
God, don't even. We were talking about stipends, and our poll question today was about should college players get any cut from their jersey sales. Mm-hmm. And John says, I've got it. A debit card that can be used for food and eating out and movies and entertainment. It can be reloaded with just a certain amount, however much they decide each month. It's traceable and can be regulated by the school.
That's not a horrible idea.
Of all the ideas John has had, this one is in the top 100.
See, I don't know John, so I can't say, but that's that's not a bad idea, though. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure there's a reason they can't do it, but yeah.
I mean, because here's the thing. Everybody's going to say, well, you give kids some money, they're going to spend it on beer. And true or false, I don't know if that's the case or not, but the fact is, if you can do that and so then you can get sponsors?
Well,
for example, could you go down and give a debit card sponsor for certain? Maybe then they'll find a way to make some money out of that.
Yeah, that's a runs a deal.
Yeah,
Val's deal.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. I've because my mind is in such a strange way sometimes. I can see it now. What were you guys doing at the strip club? Well, they serve food there.
They can-
I had to use my card somewhere.
Traceable.
So I went in and got lunch. I don't know why I was there longer, and people came in, and we got in trouble in a fight.
Why do you have to go dark? Why do you have to go dark? We're having a very calm, easy, nice show, and you have to go to the dark side like that, Doug.
Let's get our Big Ten preview rolling here. Brought to you in part by Bruce Furniture of Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. When you're shopping for new furniture, remember they've got free delivery, old furniture removal, and the just right for you in-home guarantee. If it doesn't look just right or fit just right in your home, they'll take it back and get you something that works for you. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Time now for our Big Ten football preview here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we catch up with the head football coach at Wisconsin, Gary Anderson, one of the many folks on hand for Big Ten Media Days in Chicago a couple of weeks back. Now, of course, Coach, three straight Rose Bowls, but last year the team just 4-4 in the conference. Where does the medium come here between knowing you're a good football team but knowing that you weren't a great football team last year?
First time I've ever had that question, and other than me asking me that a million times. And I really could not agree more with that. That is an important question, and it's an important balance. But I know this now. These kids have handled it well. They understand. Trust me. These kids understand that if they do exactly what they did last year, they will not get to the championship game. They understand that. 4-4 in the league is not getting them to the championship game. And I don't have to tell them that. They don't need a fan telling them that. They don't need the media telling them that. Their expectation levels is higher than that. But the other point is, then they got to that game. Okay, no matter how they got there, and they played their tails off, and they got themselves to the Rose Bowl. So, great accomplishment, you know. And when you had to, and your back was against the wall, they bowed up and played a tremendous football game. So, the good thing about it is I don't have to sit and tell those kids that, because they get it. And so I've really never even really addressed it with them, nor will I, because every year is different. But they understand how to compete. They understand how close they were in a few games of possibly winning some big games. And they also understand at the end of the day how close they were to losing a couple other games that, you know, that they were supposed to win, if you will. You know what I mean?
Does that put you so much farther ahead, taking over kids that know how to win?
Yes. Yeah. Because I don't have the recipe on understand and being able to look at a team and say, did those kids know how to win? You know, did all of a sudden at Utah State when it was 28-7 against Hawaii and they came back and won, and then we won, you know, six games in a row? And did we sprinkle magic dust on their head and say, okay, now's the time, boys, let's go? Was it some magic speech? Hell no. Nothing to do with it. They just got moving, and they found a way to win, and whatever that is, I don't know. These kids have won a lot of games. It's nice to be around an environment where they expect to win, you know, and there's something to that. You don't always win, but you got to walk in expecting to win, and this crew will expect to win every game, much like a lot of teams, but they'll really expect to go into every game and compete and win. That's nice.
Gary Anderson, Wisconsin football coach, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, would it be a disappointment if this squad doesn't make it back to a fourth straight Rose Bowl?
I think there's some truth to that, that it's a little different. But there's been some special teams here and some special kids. So, to me, there's expectations wherever you're at. If you're going to get into this big boy league and you want to coach in one of these leagues, whether you come into a team that hasn't won or you're coming to a team that has won, all that's going to matter is what you do the next year, you know. And it's truthful to say, if you're on a team that's had three wins or four wins and you come in and you win six, they'll be, you know, that's improvement. But if you come in here and, you know, you win 10 games, that's improvement. But if you go to that place and win four, that's not, you know, it's just you gotta take every year for whatever year's worth. It's a highly competitive environment, and you know, if you didn't want to be in that environment, then you shouldn't take a job like this. And you obviously know that coming in, that there's high expectations. But everybody in this room, we all have high expectations from fans. But the highest expectations I have is from me and those kids in that room to have a successful season. And again, I'll never say what's successful wins and losses. It's them being proud of their university when they walk away.
Going into a much bigger league in the Big Ten Conference from where you were at Utah State, any nerves that you have in front of you going into the new league?
Yeah, I think every coach is nervous. Anybody can tell you they're crazy if they don't think nervous before the game, because in coaching it's different than playing, because you really don't have that much control. And as a head coach, you really have less control. You know, you're going to make some calls. You're going to go for it on fourth down. You're going to kick it or, you know, whatever. but you're not making those calls all the way through the game like a coordinator did. A helpless feeling is not the right way to put it, but it's not as in control as it is sometimes as you are as a coordinator, other than making the big calls. So I'm nervous, yes, but that's just anxiety to an excitement to watch the kids perform, and you want them to be successful so bad for them and for the university, for the coaches. It's a big moment, so you're in charge of a lot of people as a head coach.
Wisconsin football coach Gary Anderson with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, first year with the Badgers, now Massachusetts, the home opener on August the 31st. Not a big name school, but is it a big game since this is your first coaching gig in the Big Ten?
I don't think it'll be, you know, any bigger. It's going to be a great moment in a big time school, but not any bigger. You know, it's still going to be whatever, how many 110 kids run out of that tunnel that. I hope they have a tremendous year, and I feel the same way about that every single year I've coached as a head coach, and really felt the same way as a coordinator and as a position coach.
Of course, there's a lot of expectations for your players as well, Coach, three-time champions. What's the challenge for them coming out this year?
I don't think it's bigger for the kids either. It's probably bigger for the seniors because there's seven more opportunities to run out of that tunnel. And that's why I always put such an emphasis on the seniors their last year. This is their last year, and everything they're doing for the last time. If there's emotions of the first game, it's probably the seniors more so than anybody saying this is my last first game, if you will.
Just a couple of minutes left here with Wisconsin football coach Gary Anderson as our Big Ten football preview continues here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, you got your first look at your team this spring. What did you learn about your team during spring ball?
A lot of things that I hope that were there. That, you know, the very smart work ethic. They'll accept information and apply it, but you can't trick these kids in any way, shape, or form. And not that we tried to trick them, but they're educated, smart young men that want the details. So if you're a coach that's not prepared, they're going to sniff you out real fast because they want to know the details. And then they come to work every day, and they, you always question, do the kids like football? And that's important to me. Do you like coming to practice? Do you like being around each other? And I think they do.
Finally, Coach, of course, back in Nebraska, a lot of ties with your athletic director, Barry Alvarez. What's your relationship with Alvarez, and do you guys communicate quite a bit since you've taken over the job?
Oh, minimal, twice a week, you know. You know, Coach Alvarez just comes over and hangs out. You know, a lot of times just comes over and I'll walk by and he'll be sitting there in Coach Chad's office and they'll be talking about Hawaii. You know, like, really? You know, and the couple of times, yeah, he does. And the couple, Coach, you know, I'll never forget Coach Woods came down and Coach Alvarez was our first week or so. And Coach Woods came walking down the hallway and he sits down and he goes, I just had a half-hour conversation with Barry Alvarez. And I'm like, yeah, did he come down and sit down in your office? He's like, yeah, and we just kind of, you know, just talked and whatever, casual conversation about, you know, his baby wasn't here yet and talked about, you know, whatever. And he was like, that's pretty awesome. You know, he would just come down and spend time. But that's Coach Alvarez. I've got to know him. He just, he loves football. He loves kids. He loves the athletic environment, and he wants to be in touch. And that's no different than this week I went to the wrestling, fundraiser for the wrestling program. And Coach asked me to come down and talk there, the wrestling coaches, and Barry asked me to go, so I was there. And Coach Alvarez was there. You know, he loves to be around to support the kids. But we talk at least a couple times a week, but I think that's very common within a lot of the Bo, you know, a lot of the coaches that are in the program too.
Gary Anderson, Wisconsin football coach, our Big Ten chat today on the Doug and Daddy Show from Media Days a couple of weeks back when we were in Chicago, our Big Ten Media Day coverage brought to you by Gary Michaels Clothiers of Hastings, the official clothier of the Doug and Daddy Show, providing you with the finest menswear from Lincoln to Denver. Stop in and get yourself ready for fall, get yourself ready for high school, college, maybe that new job out of college. They'll get you suited up. Gary Michaels Clothiers of Hastings. We'll take a break and come back with more after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
As long as the kids keep making the traveling team and the new restaurant across town doesn't deliver, you're going to be driving. So it's a smart choice to join new BP Driver Rewards. You receive an instant 10 cents per gallon reward just for signing up. With every second fill up of quality BP gasoline, you keep earning and saving 5 cents per gallon. Pick up a BP Driver Rewards brochure at your local BP to join now. Up to 20 gallons, terms and conditions apply. See bpdriverrewards.com for details.
Lunchtime is now anytime with the new Subway $4 lunch. All day, every day, you can enjoy plenty of your favorite 6-inch subs like the Spicy Italian, plus a 21-ounce drink. That's the $4 lunch all day long.
Subway. Prices and participation may vary. Additional charges for extras, plus tax. See stores for $4 lunch selection.
The Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers, two of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. They go head-to-head in interleague action this weekend.
Gone! Home run for Evan Longoria!
Can the Rays powerhouse pitching shut down Yasiel Puig and the Dodgers?
First pitch to Puig, and he breaks his bat and lines one up the middle. Another hit for Puig.
The Rays and Dodgers.
Catch all the action Saturday and Sunday on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Local bias. Here comes a local bias moment on the Doug and Daddy Show. One of the worst Sports Center top tens I've ever seen.
Oh,
we were just talking about it. It's airing now. One of the worst Sports Center top tens I've ever seen. I saw at least, and this is bias. This is the bias part. And even they brought it up yesterday. There's at least three plays in the Kearney Iowa Little League game yesterday that are better than this. There's two tennis plays where Serena Williams and Rafael Nadal, they returned the ball.
They have to get their they're going toward their tennis market. You know, they have to make sure those people are still watching. They have to give them
It's like, okay, this is coming up on ESPN, so we got to put that in there. Well, whatever it is. You want to watch tennis, you want to watch soccer, you want to watch hockey, basketball, baseball, golf with the PGA Championship on this afternoon. You can do it all, enjoy a great meal, or just kick back later this afternoon with your favorite beverage. Heck, you can do it right now. Maybe you're a third shifter. Maybe you're a morning shifter. This is your happy hour. It's all there for you. It's Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Lunch specials every day of the week, all 7 days. On a Thursday, it's the Po' Boy Shrimp Sandwich with your choice of side item, only $5.99. Maybe try a tangy Southwest Chicken Wrap or the melt-in-your-mouth Southwest Steak Wrap. They've got a great menu on hand at the Chicken Coop, where happy hours from 2 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. There's not a bad seat in the house at the Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island. Been saving this one for you. We've hardly even talked Huskers. 3 days in, you're not going to know much. But there's a couple stories. Who is hurt? Who didn't practice the first time that the media got to watch? Jake Long, tight end, is the biggest name. But I have contested and contended all summer that I am more concerned about the place kicker than I have been for a long, long time. Because look at all the close games Nebraska had last year. Will it be Mauro Bondi, who I really just haven't heard a lot of stellar things about, and maybe he's fine? Or will it be the one-year transfer in Pat Smith? And do you even want him? If Bondi's good enough, wouldn't you rather have him kick for 3 years than one guy 1 year, and then they're still going to have him on the roster? Are you worried about the kickers, Monty Kratzenstein?
Why do you do this to me? Kickers? Here's the thing. Now, let me preface this by saying that one of the reasons why Brett Maher was one of my favorite kickers of all time is because he was a 16-foot pole vaulter. Anybody saw him play wide receiver and defensive back and basketball, he was a true, real athlete. I love that kid. All right, now let's go to some other guys. The kicker is, I'm never, ever going to deny the importance of the kicker. And since you agreed with me earlier in the show, I'm going to agree with you, Doug. I think that is a huge deal with who our kicker is. Now, the problem is, way back when I coached at Millard West, I was a special teams coordinator, and that meant I had to deal with the kickers, and that scarred me for life. I've never recovered from that because of it's like mental gymnastics.
It's not just
every
kickers,
single
it's
day.
Holders, it's snappers, God. It's blocking, it's returns.
Well, that's a good point, though, because we're going to have a new kicker, but we're also going to have a new snapper, and we're also going to have a new holder. So, no, I totally agree with you in the fact that that could be a huge aspect to winning those close games. And I hope one of those guys, I don't know anything about him, I hope one of them is good, because you need to have a good kicker to win those close games.
And that brings us to great moments in Nebraska football history.
All right, Nebraska breaks the huddle. Nate Turner wide right. Richard Bell slot right. Monty Kratzenstein tight end on the left. I formation. With Tyrese Knox, the tailback. Knox gets the handoff up the middle, hits a stone wall, bounces off and goes to the right, picks up two from the 25 to the 27, and the tackle made by Reuben Oliver.
You were lined up and obviously made a hell of a block.
For a two-yard game. By the way, that Oklahoma announcer who said Kratzenstein, you know, I send him a letter every single week to try to correct that along the way. That has been the most played two-yard gain in history. Can you find another one? Jeff,
I found two of them. We've got two. They're from the same game, though. So we'll save that one for next time around, because we've run out of time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Your PGA leader right now at 5 under par is Jim Furyk, as he plays the 14th. Tiger Woods looks like he is still at 1 under par at last check. So a Tiger trying to stay in there as he is 1 under through 16. And Omaha Westside trailing all game long to Carroll, Iowa. Is that a final? No, they're in the bottom of the 8th. But it is Carroll, Iowa 4, Omaha Westside 1 at the Central Plains Regional Tournament up in Fargo, North Dakota. Creighton Prep plays West Fargo of North Dakota later today. We ran out of time today to hear from the fourth candidate for the UNK athletic director position. We'll try and hear some from her tomorrow. And three-time state wrestling champion Colton Adams of Scottsbluff committed to Nebraska. Plus, the Nebraska senior games got underway today.
Not yet.
Not yet for me.
Give me a few more years.
Hey, to all those that are in town, enjoy your stay this weekend. Hope you have a fun time. And we want to thank Gary Anderson, Wisconsin head football coach, Kurt Schmidt, coach of the Kearney Little Leaguers, and, of course, Monty Kratzenstein for joining us on the show today. Tomorrow, Sean Callahan, Jim Langens, our co-host. Monty, thanks for the time, man.
Always fun.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.